Starting in motion, Shaq Terry back to throw Burks. Gonna feather this down the field, got Shivers wide open, and Trey takes it to the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown, Trey Shivers! Three left, one right. Tristan Jackson in the backfield, they motion Bruce to the right side. Back to throw is Hunter. Hunter steps up in the pocket. Here comes the pressure. Hunter guns it down the field. Intercepted. Keon Roman at the 25-yard line. Under center is Burks, and now the option comes to the right. Pitches to Terry. Terry cuts along the sideline. 50, 45, 40, 35, 30, into the open. 25 toward the sideline. 20. 15 around the corner, 10, dances inside and is slung out of bounds at about the 3-yard line. Third down and goal, ball just short of the goal line. McKenzie is the B-back, Terry and Holland are the A's. Under center is Burks. Chandler takes the snap, takes it off to the left and into the end zone, touchdown! Touchdown Chandler Burks with 16 seconds left. And the Owls have regained the lead. Drummond, Brown, and Bruce come to the left. Back to throw is Hunter. Hunter under pressure. Guns at far side. Intercepted. Keon Roman at the 38-yard line. That'll do it. This is the Final Word podcast as the Owls come off a hard-fought 38-34 win over North Greenville here. Brian Giffen, Brandon Joseph. I was going to say Jacobs again, but Brandon Joseph, Nathan McCreary, and special guest Trey White joining us here at Fifth Third Bank Stadium as we sit here, guys, between the North Greenville game and preparing for Texas Southern to come in here. We'll get a little bit more to the football side this year in a little bit, but as mentioned, Trey White is here with us. And man, it didn't take you very long. We asked you Saturday night if you wanted to come in and sit in on a podcast, and here you are.
I'm back, and thanks for the invite, guys. It's great to be back here, especially looking over this beautiful field.
Now, we asked you a little bit of this Saturday night at halftime, but of course we were on a limited schedule. Tell us a little bit about what's keeping you busy these days. Obviously, it's a big transition when you finish playing and you finish college. I know you took your long backpacking vacation. We'll touch on that in a little bit, but what's keeping you busy now?
Yes, sir. Actually, the way it worked out, I just took a job for a pharmaceutical company, National Pharmacy, and next week I'll be moving to Shreveport, Louisiana.
Oh, wow.
For at least 6 months, getting in the training program there and learning that business. But, the real world starting to hit me.
Well, tell us a little bit about how the time you spent, not only here at Kennesaw, but at the Citadel and basically other things throughout your college career prepared you for it. Were you a pharmacy major?
No, sir. I'm a finance major. And, really going back to, like you said, the Citadel and really the Kennesaw State football program here, run by, Coach Bo Hannon and the strength program with Coach Jim Carrizzi, it was run a lot like the Citadel. Very intense, the scheduling, very tough, because, Coach Bohannon, he wants to breed, competition and success through hard work, determination, stuff like that. So really getting into the workforce is all about, hey, schedule, right? You got to work your schedule and really working hard, and I hope all those skills translate over for me. Which I'm sure they will.
Well, you coming back to campus and seeing Kennesaw State, what is it like really? I mean, and last year you had an injury early on and had to sit on the sidelines, and now you're not even on the sidelines. What's that transition like, going from student-athlete down there with everybody and now kind of being a spectator?
Yeah, man, it's different, but it's tough too. Your mind's like you're watching the game, especially being back. When you're watching on TV, it's a little different. Being back in the stadium, in the atmosphere, close to the field, it was tough. But man, I watching all those hard hits, man, you miss it up until that point. I definitely miss it. And boy, do we have a good team this year.
You actually got a chance to live something not a lot of people get to live. You get the creation of the program that first year, everybody takes the red shirt, then that first year coming in, and then actually building towards an off season and then coming back, which was your senior season. Talk about that transition of the mental aspect of you went a year practicing, not hitting anybody but teammates, then that year of getting ready, getting into the season, and then having to get healthy and come back for your senior season.
Yeah, I mean, talk about transition after transition after transition. You know, I was just lucky to be a part of the experience, you know, especially when I came here. You know, the whole selling point was, hey, we're here to build something. And then, you know, going through that year of practice and then year of, you know, the first season, you know, after the first season, like, all right, it's built, it's put in place. Now we got to build on top of that. And, you know, coming back for that second season and, you know, getting injured. And, you know, it you know, for me, it was probably one of the most humbling experiences of my life, you know, going from, and obviously I was still like a team leader after my injury, but, you know, being the number one quarterback and a leader on the team. And then, you know, having an injury where, you know, hey, you can still be influential, be a leader, but, you know, as far as physical capabilities on the field, you know, it's tough right now. And especially, you know, having the talent we have at KSU, you know, I mean, Chandler stepped right in and balled out. I mean, heck, you can't, you know, blame that at all. That was awesome. And we were winning games. But, you know, it was very humbling, you know, especially not being able to be out there with the guys. But, hey, I was able to come back near the end of the year, and we made a run. And I think one thing this team is starting to show, I'm especially hoping from that last drive of the North Greenville game, is, you know, that game-winning drive, you know, going back to last year, man, we made a run, but, you know, in that Charleston Southern, the conference championship game, essentially, you know, gave out, lost gas at the end. And I'm hoping last year's experience from that, you know, kind of end of the season, you know, definitely can help us this year.
When you were being recruited, and, I mean, everybody knows that recruiting is essentially about, you know, stocking and building the football team. But the part of recruiting that people don't think about, because they're all avid football fans, is how much a coach, when he's in your family's living room, talks about, you know, how that school is going to prepare you for life after football and life after college. Coach Bohannon talks about it all the time. Tell us, or walk us through a little bit of that process, and how much, obviously, academics are the key reason all these guys are here.
100%.
But football, of course, is a big component of it, and in a lot of cases, football enables guys to be here financially and otherwise. Talk a little bit about that process, and how much, when you're being recruited, be it by the Citadel or when you obviously came over here, how much emphasis is on that when a coach is in your living room?
Huge emphasis. You know, not only are they selling this program, but obviously it's a student athlete. So yeah, the academics are going to be a huge part of it. Imagine Coach Bohannon, you know, going into you know, recruit, you know, a kid in his living room and say, you know, he's recruiting against, you know, name another school. And you know, he can go in and say, hey, look, Coles College of Business is, you know, one of the top business programs in the country. Or, you know, can just go down the line at, you know, the Kennesaw State academics. And especially the acquirement of, you know, Southern Poly and that, you know, engineering school. I mean, it's got to be huge.
So when you were at the Citadel, what brought you, what your attention to Kennesaw State and really drew you to come be a part of a program, like Brandon said, you're going to have to wait a year. It's going to be tough. You're not going to hit anybody. What was the attraction that brought you to Kennesaw State? What was it like first putting on the black and gold?
Yeah, so, you know, small world. Once I decided to transfer, I came and met with Coach Bohannon, and you know, he kind of laid out what you just said. Yeah, you know, hey, yeah, practice for a year, all, you know, all this stuff. You know, nothing's guaranteed. Going from that, right when I met with him, my offensive coordinator at the Citadel and Coach Bohannon were roommates under Paul Johnson back in Georgia Southern. Anyway, it was just such a small world. And having Kennesaw be in my backyard, you know, especially from being from Atlanta. And then, you know, Coach Worley from the Citadel came here, obviously. And then Coach, you know, Jim came here. So all those factors just kind of culminated to be the perfect storm for me. Because, man, am I blessed I came here. Wearing the black and gold, I'll never forget the first scrimmage we had, this first spring game.
Yeah.
You know, first game, you know, with fans, black and gold. You know, it was an experience I'll never forget.
And you run the option ever since, probably since you can walk.
Yeah, like
you've been in that
sixth,
option
grade,
program.
Yeah.
Now you see teams like Georgia Tech, and you see more dynamic of that option. Talk about that, the growth of that option, just because it's a pretty common thing now.
Yeah, so, you know, especially back in high school, playing under Coach Shannard, St. Pius, and then, you know, going to the Citadel, you know, running the wing T triple option, I kind of always thought, hey, look, it's we're going to run it 90% of the time, all this stuff. Run it again, you know, up the middle, up the middle. Well, one thing Coach Bohannon that, you know, really stuck in my head when I came here, it was Coach Bohannon and Coach Chestnut. It was, hey, we're running, you know, we're running the triple option, running the, you know, spread option, but it's not the spread option. It's the Kennesaw State offense, the Kennesaw State option. It's our own version. And that's one thing I think you've seen here. I mean, our up-tempo triple option is different than about 85, 90% of every other option in the country, especially under center option. I mean, look, we're definitely going to try and keep it balanced and hit it up the middle, but man, with our speed and our athleticism, we're trying to get it on the edge. We're trying to get it on the edge, and I think you've seen that from our big plays.
How uncommon is it, too, to have big, physical, imposing receivers added to that, whereas, you know, a team can game plan all week to stop or slow down the perimeter part of the option, shut down the middle part of the option, but as soon as you commit to those things, you got a couple of big targets. Justin Sumter's the first one, of course.
Exactly.
But you got a couple of big targets there. And it's hard for a defensive coordinator to plan to play this team.
It really is. I remember one time Coach Newberry came up to me and he was like, Trey, just throw it 15. You know, if I had a defensive plan against him, it'd be a nightmare. And I was like, yes, sir. I'm telling you, it's got to be tough on defense coordinators. But I think one thing you'll see, especially the rest of the season, the offensive success we have will be dependent upon if Chandler, whoever the quarterback is, the distribution of the football.
Mm-hmm.
The more people we can get it to, the better our offense is going to be. Just like you said, you know, we got Sumter, but we also got many other players.
Yeah. And that really comes back to reads. And Chandler has done a really good job with reads, really, from the time you got banged up last year and he kind of stepped into the spotlight. Before we move to the current state of Kennesaw State football, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit. Tell us what your favorite memory of the time you spent in uniform here is.
Favorite memory?
And if you have to think about it, that's all right.
Well, I got
Brandon
a couple.
Will fill time.
I got a couple off the top of my head. Man, I mean, that first conference win against Gardner-Webb,
yep.
That was that's something I'll never forget. That was something else. I'll be honest, I'm never going to forget the fifth third leap that when I jumped into the student section. That was I don't know why I did that, but man, that was fun. Man, the just interaction with the student section and the crowds, you'll never forget the attention they give you.
I think your longest deep ball connection came in that game.
The Gardner-Webb game?
Too. Yeah.
Yeah, it was. Blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while. Yeah, so I probably the Gardner-Webb, that first conference win, that was pretty that was emotional, man. I mean, we were playing against some men. We were little boys.
Now with that leap, do you remember the leap itself or the chewing you got afterwards?
The chewing.
From Coach Bohannon.
The chewing, yeah. That was my teammate's favorite part.
I was on the sideline for that, and I remember you kind of come out of the stands, and you started walking towards Coach, and then you tried to duck behind.
Yeah, I think it was Mike. Tried to hide behind Mike Reed.
All right, the other thing we want to touch on real quickly before we get to the current state of the Owls is tell us a little bit about your Europe trip.
Oh, wow.
That's not something everybody gets to do.
It's not, yeah. So, you know, after graduation, started working, a buddy of mine was graduating in the summer, and he did the same. And, you know, with some family help, we, you know, got some money together and took a trip across the pond, hit a bunch of countries. We really backpacked the whole way, staying in hostels and stuff. And man, it was an experience. Talk about a culture shock. Europe, it was so amazing, but, man, am I proud to be an American.
Yeah, no doubt. And Europe's a beautiful country. Do you have a specific place that you just wanted to go or something you saw that just was special?
You know, we went to we hit Barcelona. I mean, we literally hit a huge circle of Europe, but probably the coolest, most emotional, coolest thing I saw, we went to the Normandy beaches, the
wow.
D-Day beaches.
Oh, wow.
I'll tell you what, that was
history.
That was breathtaking, big time.
What was the biggest culture difference that you've – from you said you're proud to be an American. What's the biggest cultural
thing? Did they run the option over there?
Man, they didn't. They didn't. We went to a football game and they were kicking the ball around. I was like, what is this?
A different type of kickers all on the field at one time.
Man, you know, going from, you know, a country like Spain to then a country like France and then a country to like Germany and all the different languages, you know, it throws you off. It was just a great experience and I'm glad I got to share it with a close friend of mine and we had some great experiences.
Hey, I'm a food guy, and I always ask the players food.
Ooh, okay. No.
So what kind? Oh, right.
Gotcha.
So did you have a cuisine there that just blew you away?
Man, so food in Spain was amazing. You know, they just have a bunch of meats. Now, I would you know, if you ever go, do not go through the Spain meat markets, because probably don't want to eat after. I mean, there's just everything. You know, they have it all hanging up,
yeah.
Right? You know?
Yeah, it's being cured right in front of your eyes.
Exactly. But that, and then, man, there are a bunch of good Middle East, you know, because the Middle Eastern influence is huge,
yeah.
Especially the Mediterranean. We had some great Syrian food and Mediterranean food. It was, I highly recommend kibbeh. Grape leaf rolls, that stuff's pretty awesome.
That's cool.
I don't know how we transition to the current state of the Owls.
Yeah.
Let's go have lunch and come back and do that after. No, but so moving ahead now, of course, as we mentioned at the top, the Owls come off a 38-34 win over a Division II, albeit a very good Division II program in North Greenville. Now they take on Texas Southern, a program that has started 0-4, and I've kind of done a little bit of research on them here preliminarily early in the week. They haven't fared especially well. Their games have, for the most part, been close. They've already changed quarterbacks due to one injury this year. They come in here. This is obviously a hostile environment. I look for this game to be the one where Kennesaw State asserts itself, plays a four-quarter game, and sends maybe a message to the rest of the conference that, hey, we're here to play.
Yeah, and going back to that first drive, that last drive of the game, that every game we've seen Kennesaw State play so far has seemed like an uphill battle. I mean, there's just been that first half, even when they were ahead of Tennessee Tech, and then they come out in the second half, and next thing you know, it's a ball game. And it was uphill battle for them on that game as well. This game was just a grind all game long, and then when North Greenville scored that go-ahead touchdown, well, you could feel this place was on edge, and that drive was something special, and we were waiting to see that. And, Dre, I'd like to hear your thoughts. That drive, and then to pound it in from the one-yard line. I mean, we've been seeing Kennesaw State, and, Dre, you're a part of it. Getting it in from the one-yard line has been a problem for Kennesaw State, just that last yard
short
in the
yardage.
Red zone, short yardage. And they're able to push that in, I think, was a big moment for this team this year.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree. I mean, not only the atmosphere in the stadium, but like you said, when they scored that go-ahead touchdown in North Greenville, I mean, even the sideline, it was like, okay, well, this is it. We'll see who we are right here. And like you said, you know, we got to build off that last drive. You know, going back to what, Brian, we were talking about earlier, you know, that last drive, you saw we were putting some, you know, runs up the middle together. Then we hit outside, and we were getting the ball to some players. And you didn't, you know, obviously we put up, you know, 30, 38 points, whatever it was. But, you know, it just seemed like there were drives that you hit a wall, you know. And to see that, you know, we just kept driving through that wall, that last drive was huge.
And this is college football, so you don't want to use the phrase get right game, but this has all the makings of a get-right game against a Texas Southern team that is struggling. Their quarterback, 23 of 43 last week, 183 yards, doesn't have a touchdown pass. So everything is right for Kennesaw State. And Nathan and Trey, as you mentioned, that last drive was the first drive for the rest of the season for this team. And Trey, you've been around. What does Coach Bohannon tell these guys this week, knowing that, you know, they can look at the stats too. They can see Texas Southern. Everything is making for them to have to win this game and, as Giff said, assert their dominance. What does Coach Bohannon tell these guys to keep them focused, one, because you don't want that letdown. You may come in and think, hey, Texas Southern, we should have this, and then all of a sudden you find yourself in the North Greenville fourth quarter situation.
For sure. Well, I think, you know, what you just said there, that fourth quarter situation, I think Coach Bohannon, I mean, like he always does, you got to treat it just like, you know, the next week. This is the most important game because it's the next game, and that's what he's telling the guys. And you know, I think, you know, another week of practice is going to help this team. You know, the offense is still, you can tell, we're still finding our way. And I think we're going to put a good game together. You know, Coach Chestnut's game plan is always pretty money. So, you know, our defense has been solid. Like you said, a get-right game. I like that. I like that saying a lot.
Two things here. First of all, one of the things that stands out about that drive were how many of the guys, and you were a leader here yourself, how many of the guys that were leaders really stepped up in that drive. Obviously, Chandler Burks was named Offensive Player of the Week in the Big South, so he stepped up the entire game. But look at the two huge runs that Jake McKenzie had in that drive. Look at the, you know, the catch by Justin Sumpter in that drive on a third down. On and on and on. And of course, some of the leaders on the other side of the ball. Izzy Sam has been just huge all year long.
And a little note on Izzy Sam. Man, is it fun to watch him play? Not
no
only
doubt.
Is his effort.
And Anthony Gore, too.
Flying around the field. But, man, Izzy and Anthony, they both Ant. We call him Ant. Izzy and Ant, man, they help set up this defense. With Taylor back there, I mean, these are the leaders of the defense. And I just got to give them a shout out, give them credit, because man, it's fun to watch.
And then the second part of where I was going with this was, you know, as much as the Owls have had their struggles in second halves, the one thing that you have here, and who knows what happens on Saturday against Texas Southern, but the one thing you have so far, yeah, you've played close games. You let one of them get away where you dominated in the first half, but you've won the other three. Hasn't been the prettiest thing ever in winning them yet. Here you are prior to conference play, and you've had to play tough games where you've had to find ways to hang on. You've had to make plays to protect a win. And I wonder if, you know, the start where the games haven't been blowouts and they haven't really dominated anybody really pay off, because that's a lot more like what you're going to see in conference play.
For sure.
Four-quarter games that are tough from the beginning to the end.
Well, you know, you're hoping they can take – from those games, you know, they can pull from those games and you know, hopefully that helps them. But what you don't want is for them to, you know, go back to those games and the fact of, hey, you know, we don't have a strong second half, because that in conference play is what, you know, loses you games.
This Texas Southern game is a week before your first conference road game to mm-hmm. Liberty.
And a huge one.
And a huge one.
Man, they made us homecoming.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, right.
Well, LSU made Troy homecoming, so
that was a mistake.
Yeah,
but I like talking about what we saw in that last drive was Kennesaw State football, right? That's what you kind of expect to see Kennesaw State do, but it just hasn't been there. Whether that inside game, we've seen some different pieces of this offense that you didn't have. Bronson Recksteiner on the other side of the
yeah, we
field.
Brought him over. Yeah,
you know, now brought over. I think it's really important to get those guys involved. And, you know, Trey Shivers has waited his turn. It's nice to see him score three touchdowns in the last three games.
For sure. Yeah, Trey's put in his time for sure.
Defensively, Bryson Armstrong, redshirt freshman, so you got to see him during his redshirt year. He almost seems like Taylor Hinkle in a sense that the way he plays, the way he finds the ball. Now, Taylor has been hampered by injuries, but when you see him play now and knowing him from his redshirt year, what do you see out of Bryson Armstrong?
Man, he's, you know, he's not the most talented. He's not the fastest. You know, and this is things he'll tell you. Man, he just has a nose for the ball. And, you know, he studies just like Taylor, studies film. And he just knows the defense and knows what the offense is going to do. And I don't know what that sound is.
No, it's the siren. They're testing them. It's Wednesday, first of the month.
Yeah, now you know what time of day it is.
There you go. But, yeah, I mean, he just has a nose for the ball, a knack for finding the ball. And, you know, a lot of times you'll take that over anything else. And having two guys in the backfield, him and Taylor, that are like that, I mean, that just makes our defense ruthless.
Now, you've been through a lot of practices here, and you've been through a lot of ups and downs on game weeks and things like that. I want to know, what have the coaches been doing with these players this week to address the penalties and the untimely? Because Coach told me when we sat down yesterday, you know, there are effort penalties and then there are selfish penalties. I want to know what he would be doing and how tough practices are to deal with those selfish penalties.
Man, I would not want to be a part of the end of practice this week. He would always involve in our conditioning. You know, like our conditioning would be on different snap counts and things like that. He tries to integrate game type, you know, scenarios into conditioning, which sounds really mean. Yeah.
Well, real quick about Chandler Burks, the job that he's done, being very decisive with the ball. We actually talked about last week. He had some chances, maybe get the ball down the field, but he's not going to throw across his body and across the middle of the field. He's not going to do those dumb things. What did you see in him? Being your backup and then stepping into that role, and just talk about his play and how decisive you have to be in this option offense.
Yeah, so first off, got to give Coach Cody Worley credit, because not only, I mean, he is one of the best coaches on the staff, obviously, but you know, he he really does a good job of getting these the quarterbacks ready, quarterbacks and B-backs. But, man, as far as Chandler goes, especially, you know, when he was my backup, man, he is, you know, on point with everything. He's always pushing to get better. And, you know, his IQ of the game is very high. And that's, I think, goes into the decisiveness, indecisiveness, what you were talking about. Man, you got to be decisive, but you also got to be, you know, smart decisive.
Right.
You got to be decisive, but also make the right decision all within a split second. And that's where his game IQ, I think, you know, comes in huge.
Going back to Texas Southern, something we talked about before we started taping, those uniforms, though. The gray uniform.
The gray uniforms and the
Now, you have to be a little upset that you don't get to have one of those, get to play in one of those, but cool uniforms nonetheless.
Yeah, absolutely I'm upset, especially with the helmets. I said it when I walked into y'all. But, yeah, when I just first got here, transferred here, I told Dan Quinn, I was like, man, we need our equipment manager. I was like, we need the eagle, you know, the wings on the helmets. And he was like, oh, that would look awful. And now, you know, he puts together the coolest, you know, uniform combo we've had yet.
Some of the greatest visions come after, exactly. After the fact.
Exactly.
I want to get a little bit back to the quarterbacks for a minute. It bears mentioning, too, that, you know, Daniel David played a big role in this last game. And, of course, you know yourself that an option quarterback, I mean, you better have another guy and oftentimes two other guys ready to go because you know, you take a pounding as an option quarterback. You're going to take a lot of hits. But Daniel David played a key role, scored a touchdown himself.
Yeah.
And he looked sharp out there. And going back to the Duquesne game last year, this is a guy that's a really valuable option off the bench. You know, we had that three-turnover sequence at Alabama State, but not all of those you put on Daniel David. Plus, any quarterback may make a wrong read and throw a pick here or there. But Daniel David's a valuable piece, and it's just an example of when you run this kind of offense, your quarterback, be it a cramp, be it an ankle twist, or one thing or the other, is going to take hits. And, boy, when he does in a close game, you got to have somebody you can count on, and Daniel's been the guy.
Man, not only has he been the guy, especially playing with him, there is just talent just gushing out of him. I mean, he is so talented, so athletic, great arm. You know, I'd love to see, you know, just him keep working on his game IQ. What I was talking about with Chandler, I mean, at that position, knowing all the pieces to the puzzle, you know, knowing, you know, what you need to do, what checks you need to make to get you in the right play, it just goes so far. And you know, that's one thing I know he's working on, but man, is he talented. And yeah, I mean, talk about a backup. I mean, he could yeah, play, you know, at pretty much any other school in our conference.
And when he came in, that he actually took the team down the field after they'd stalled. They'd gone three and out twice in a row. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden David comes in. I think Chandler had a cramp, came off the field. Daniel David puts that drive together. And to hear Chandler as excited, he said, "That's my boy. That's my guy," and he brought the team a spark. So that camaraderie between those quarterbacks off the field is important as well.
Absolutely, and that's kind of bred, you know, within the position groups. You know, the quarterbacks and B-backs are a position group. You know, under Coach Cody Worley. But man, it's a tight group, and especially me being part of it last year. I know they're boys, and like you just said, tight group. But man, I got to give some credit to Chandler Burks, man. His leadership of that group has been unbelievable, and you know, just to see that interaction between them is pretty cool. Especially me being kind of in that situation last year, because man, I was so happy for him last year.
And you've had the benefit of running this option, as you said, since you were six. Daniel came from Shannon Jarvis's program at Mill Creek App State, which is a little more pro style.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the things that, as he's just a redshirt sophomore, he's going to have to learn and picking up the little idiosyncrasies of this offense?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, especially when he came in, I mean, he was trying to learn how to read and pitch the ball going downhill. I mean, just all those things, you know, you got to get those pieces of your game. You got to get that to a point where you're not thinking about that during the game. You know, you got to think about execution of the play. So you know, he came in and you know he had so much thrown at him. So I'm sure that transition was very tough. But like you, I mean, I bet you can see a huge difference in last year to this year. Just his, you know, just his comfortability within the offense.
How much of a blessing and a strength is it for this program that, you know, at that position group and seemingly at all the other ones, you guys have that kind of closeness? I mean, last year when Chandler came in and you were banged up, it's your senior year, it had to be frustrating for you to know you're going to miss some time.
For sure.
But you were his biggest cheerleader.
100%.
And when Daniel comes into the Alabama State game and when he comes in the other night, Chandler Burks is his biggest cheerleader. So there's competition there because you all want to play. But on the other side, there's a huge amount of support, admiration, and closeness there between all the guys seemingly at that position group.
For sure, and I think you see that across the board, really. And I you got to give it to just the culture Coach Bohannon's, you know, kind of built. I mean, obviously it's a tough, competitive culture. I'm very, very competitive. Everything you do is graded. Everything you do is graded or judged, whether it be your grades in the, you know, academics to, you know, how you did in the conditioning. I mean, it's wild. Everything's graded and put up and so you can see it. But I think, like I said, you know, the culture Coach Bohannon's built, you got to toe that line. And, you know, when you have, you know, us working out, you know, in the snow, you know, 20 degrees and, you know, they're out there working out, you know, it's, that builds camaraderie, that builds, you know, a band of brothers. And, you know, you can definitely see that's paid off.
So with Texas Southern coming in here and then your Big South Conference coming up, Kennesaw State sits at 3-1. What are some things you see that they need to do better to really kind of, you talk about break through that wall, just kind of get back to Kennesaw State football? And I think because we're all concerned about that Big South schedule. I certainly am,
no
with
doubt,
the way the team's played at times this season.
Yeah, I mean, especially just as a big fans like us, man, we just want to see a full game put together.
Right.
That's the first thing. Because you've seen flashes of, you know, just great offense, great defense, great special teams, but you haven't seen it all put together in a full game.
Do you still feel that the conference championship is obtainable for this team?
Absolutely.
Given what you've seen so far.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, the talent and the expectations coming into the season. I mean, look, we're still 3-1. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, a win's a win. You know, did we give away the Samford game? Golly, I want it back. Yeah, but hey, look, we're moved on from that.
And you're one half from being undefeated too. That's what people don't realize, that, you know, a bad half after a strange
3-hour tornado warning. That's some very, very strange stuff. But look, yeah, I mean, like you said, look, we just want to put a full game together. And obviously, I'm going to harp on the offense because I'm an offensive guy. But I mean, you know, look, our defense is going to play a huge factor in this too. You know, I think our defense, you know, has been the key to our program thus far, especially the years I was there. I mean, you know, I was lucky enough, you know, like that first conference win. I mean, we think we put up like 12 points and we won.
Mm. Yep, four field goals, remember it, 12-7, and they were perched on the goal line.
Exactly.
Parada interception.
Oh, man.
His second, by the way.
Exactly, that's
it's
right.
It's great to have him here as a GA,
it
by
is.
The way.
It
I thought
is.
They might do that with you.
You know, Coach Bohannon asked me a long time ago, and I just wasn't interested in it. But yeah, you know, I've got a couple ex-teammates, whether it be from the Citadel or here, you know, coaching.
Sure.
And, you know, they tell me, oh, man, I miss it, but playing with or coaching these players, seeing the conditioning and stuff, you know, they're out.
I saw when I saw you Saturday and saw you kind of working the crowd, do people recognize you? Do they come up to you and try and talk football with you when they see you out here?
Well, yeah, I mean, so this past week was my first game back, you know, as a fan.
Yeah.
And the amount of support and fans coming up to me, especially in the tailgating and in the stadium, man, it did it make, you know, everything I did here worth it.
That's cool.
Was very humbling, but just, yeah, very emotional, very, very awesome. Made me proud to be an Owl, for sure.
All right, one final thing here before we get to closing thoughts and then all of our thoughts on the Texas Southern game. Talk for a minute about the influence of Jim Caritzi on building that camaraderie and the amount of work you guys put in away from game days and the amount of work that's been put in from the time they first got out there and started to practice when you got past the open tryouts. Talk about his influence on the program. He's a pretty vocal guy, too, on game days. You see him in all those game videos. Let's talk a little bit about Coach Caritzi before we sign it away.
Yeah, when you talk about Kennesaw State football, Coach Bohannon, culture, you know, effort, attitude, toughness, there is not a more influential person than Coach K. I mean, first off, just his intensity, attitude, energy that he brings to the table. I mean, I think that's why Coach Bohannon brought him here. But me getting to experience him at the Citadel, you know, he was the assistant strength coach at the Citadel. And then, you know, him coming here, I mean, he didn't miss a beat. And yeah, he's part of the reason this team is so close. The the hell he puts him through in the conditioning. I mean, it is, but it's also that's what, you know, that's how you win championships.
Yep.
I mean, all the work you put in the offseason, and he's the leader of that.
And you mentioned Coach Worley as well, and the influence he's had on the quarterbacks, and just what a key role it is to have a quarterback's coach that is consistent. You see these guys bounce around sometimes, to have an option type coach that coaches these guys. Just again, what did he bring to you, and what do you see him drawing out of Chandler Burks this season?
I'm so fortunate that I had Coach Worley. I mean, you know, I got to have a quarterback's coach, my position coach, that not only played the position, you know, in Georgia high school and, you know, in college, mm-hmm. he played at Furman, but also, you know, a coach that's younger and, you know, close to your age and can relate to you in many ways, which Coach Worley and I did. I was very, very lucky and blessed cool. to have him. But also, you know, he wants the best out of you. And, you know, I hope he got the best out of me. And that's one thing I know he's going to get out of Chandler and David, man. These guys are pushed to the limits. You know, Coach Worley, he was a big big fan of Pete Carroll and Pete Carroll's system of always drawing in competition. And, you know, I remember every quarterback's meeting was started with whether it be, you know, any sort of competition, you know, whatever it may be. And that's what he draws out of people.
All right, guys, so Texas Southern comes in here real quickly as we're running low on time. I look for the Owls to assert themselves this weekend and close out the non-conference portion of the schedule, the Montana State game notwithstanding, but essentially the game prior to conference play. I look for the Owls to put their foot down, step on the gas early Saturday night, and come away with a convincing win.
Yeah, I got a chance to listen to a podcast with Coach Michael Haywood of Texas Southern, and he said – We've got to throw our playbook out the window defensively because we don't. This is the only option team we play, yep. So it's got to be very challenging for them. That's the advantage of an option offense. But I think our defense is going to be what really is going to be a nail for the Texas Southern, because how well they're playing, how quick they play. Texas Southern's offense is still trying to figure out quarterbacks, still trying to figure out Watson Widers.
Yep.
They got some talent. They're very athletic. They got some talent. They're just not putting it together. 0-4 on the road. They're flying in the night before and then have a 14-hour bus ride back to Texas Southern. They couldn't get a flight worked out. So that's going to be on the minds of those guys.
Yeah.
They don't want to go home with a loss. I think they're going to come in here with an aggressive mindset to pick up a win on the road. But I think it's up to Kennesaw State's defense to be the difference maker.
A lot of factors that we saw last week will be at play again Saturday night. It will be the Kennesaw sideline to sideline athleticism, this team speed. That should definitely be a benefit, especially with a quarterback that just is now taking the helm of Texas Southern. You mentioned the quarterback change that they had to make. When you have to throw the ball 43 attempts, and you don't get a touchdown out of it, you're playing from behind, and they're willing to throw the ball out. Kennesaw State's very athletic, especially in the defensive back area. They'll benefit from that. Kennesaw State's offense, as you mentioned, Nathan, they had to throw out the playbook defensively, Texas Southern, to try to figure out how to stop Kennesaw State. This is ripe for a get-right game. Now there will be tons of factors, tons of variables, but Kennesaw State needs it. Four quarters and four quarters of domination.
You guys, I couldn't agree with y'all more. I'm calling for a big win this weekend. I'm thinking 49-7. I'm calling it.
All right, well, that will pretty much do it for this week's edition of the Final Word Podcast, and we invite you to tune in every week at KSUOwls.com, as during the football season we'll have as many of these roundtables as possible, and now that baseball is over, I think we'll do it about every week. I don't want to have to do any of them by phone, so that'll be cool. But I want to thank, obviously, Trey White for coming over. Man, it's great to see you.
Great to see y'all. Thanks so much for the invite.
We're thrilled for the success that you're just getting started having and all that stuff. We want to thank you for being here, man.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
Been great having
well,
you chime in.
I won't
in.
Be a stranger, y'all. Thanks so much
and
for what y'all did.
One thing, when you go to Shreveport, remind them that it's Kennesaw State gold, not LSU gold.
I like it.
But that'll do it. I want to thank Nathan McCreary and Brandon Joseph. I keep wanting to call him Brandon Jacobs, but the two don't have that much in common. He's a little bigger than you.
I'm just going to change my name legally now to Brandon
<That's>
Jacobs.
<right. laughs> I used to call Jake Josh, too, so don't feel bad. But and thanks to Trey White also. I'm Brian Giffen. Thanks to all the aforementioned folks, along with Jake Doro, who, hey, he let us in here. And he's the guy who cleans these up and puts them on at KSUOwls.com. It's the Owls in Texas Southern. The Tigers invade the nest Saturday night. It's a 7 o'clock Eastern time kickoff with pregame coverage beginning over 12:30, The Fan 2 and 106.3, and online at AtlantisSportsStation.com at 6:30. Owls and the Tigers coming up Saturday. We'll talk to you then.